July 16th, 1988. I'd been back from Southeast Asia a little over a week when we were married in a quiet ceremony at a small country inn in Vermont. Or at least that had been the idea. In many ways, it was the experience we had hoped for, an intimate celebration. Before our friends and family, we affirmed our commitment to spend our lives together. But it was something else, too. A kind of groundbreaking. My own bubble, the one that had sheltered me through the last 7 years of public life, now had to be expanded, renovated into a duplex. We'd invited just 70-odd guests, close friends and family only. As a precaution, we'd hired Gavin's firm to provide security. This proved to be a wise move. Dozens of tabloid reporters and paparazzi attempted to crash the party, deploying helicopters and even undercover spies disguised as llamas in order to blend in with the innkeeper's pet livestock. Locals and waitstaff were bribed and pumped for information, and a surreal siege began. It became a drama of spy versus spy, and thanks to Gavin, our spies won. The paparazzi were unable to capture even a single photograph of the bride and groom, and the wedding went on exactly as we'd hoped, except maybe for the whir of helicopters overhead. The honeymoon also had its share of gate crashers. We island hopped through the Caribbean, but at each step we would find ourselves being tailed. Wherever we went, we'd look out our window to find boats anchored just offshore, bearing photographers with 500mm lenses aimed at our honeymoon suite. Finally, we made our way to Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, where Tracy's family had vacationed during her childhood summers. Resigned to the fact that we were going to have to deal with these interlopers, we figured we might as well face them on our own home turf. The rush that was my life then meant Tracy and I had no real opportunity to digest the strange twists and turns on the way to the altar, or the extended road comedy that had been our honeymoon. Family Ties started up again in August, Back to the Future 2 in the fall of that year, forcing me to moonlight again, segueing right into Part 3, which wouldn't wrap until January 1990. My bride, the one and only love of my life, was wondering what in the hell she'd gotten herself into. Pregnant 1 month after the wedding, Tracy found herself with a husband who, when he wasn't away on a job, was little more than a narcoleptic Lamaze partner. I did, however, negotiate time off to coincide with Sam's birth. A clause inserted into my deal, labor plus 3 weeks, had to be a first for a movie contract. But as soon as the 3 weeks were over, it was back to work again, leaving T nursing a baby and no doubt a few resentments.